From Hollywood, the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show for Hormel and Spam.
Crazy people. Spam, rebop, boom, spam. George Burns and Gracie Allen. Oh, the show and his orchestra, the singing glee with the smoothie sea. Last but not least, and with Bud Heaston.
Evening brings another Burns and Allen show to your house, and in just one sentence, I'm going to tell you why Spam is so popular with families everywhere. Ready? When you buy Spam, you know exactly what you're getting. For just as shown on the label, Spam is pure pork shoulder with ham meat added. Your guarantee of goodness and quality. And combine that with the many uses for this delicious meat, it's only natural that Spam is a hit, cold or hot. As you'll discover by trying the easy recipes on the label after you buy Spam when you shop tomorrow. And please, Mr. Shaw, I'm running out of breath, but I'm all through, so put a musical period on this for me, please. And here they are, those two Spam ambassadors of fun, George and Gracie.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Bud.
Hello, Gracie. Say, you should have been with me Saturday night. I went to a party at Irene Dunn's house.
By the way, Bud, what's Irene Dunn doing?
Dunn doing? George, what kind of English is that?
What kind of English is that? I said, what's Irene Dunn doing?
You mean, what's Irene Dunn?
Gracie, isn't Irene Dunn a motion picture star?
Well, yes. I saw her in My Favorite Wife.
Well, that's the picture that Irene Dunn did.
Dunn did? Well, that's even worse than Dunn doing.
Well, George, maybe I can help you. You see, Gracie, Irene Dunn told me that...
Dunn told you? Oh, what did Irene Dunn told you, all Rochester?
Look, Gracie, when Irene Dunn does a picture, it doesn't mean that Irene Dunn done a picture. It means Irene Dunn did a picture. And the picture that Dunn did is what Dunn's done.
Do you feel all right, Daddy?
Bud, why did you have to start this?
Señor Burns, you say una cosa muy graciosa de esta película.
That's the guitar player, yes. What is it, Señor Lee?
I saw that picture with that Irene Dunn and that Kenny Grant. He's wonderful.
Kenny Grant?
Sí.
You mean Cary Grant?
Remember in the picture when she puts her arms around him and hugged him and squeezed him?
Yes.
Well, Kenny Grant?
Artie, will you keep that South American park your carcass quiet?
Okay, Poopsie.
And stop with that Poopsie. That's what the girl called me here last week, and now it's all over.
Oh, George, I knew I had something to tell you. You know that sweet little girl who was up here last week? The one you promised to make your new partner on the radio?
You mean Elsie Tralifas?
Yeah, that's the one, Poopsie.
Stop calling me Poopsie. And I was only fooling when I promised to put her on the radio. Don't tell me that she's taking it to heart.
Oh, worse than that, she's taking it to court.
She's taking it to court?
Yeah, and when she told me that she was suing you for $10,000, I told her a thing or a couple.
$10,000?
Yes, I said to her, I said, Elsie, by the time you get through buying the clothes to wear in front of the jury, paying your lawyer and paying your court expenses, you'll have nothing left out of the $10,000.
Well,
what's the sense of it?
That's right. Did she see your point?
She certainly did.
Oh, good.
Now she's suing you for $200,000.
You ad-libbed $100,000. $200,000?
Oh, don't worry about it, George. A friend of mine was sued for $150,000, and he didn't pay a cent.
Well, Artie, I'd like to meet him.
Well, you can talk to him tomorrow.
Well, good.
Visiting hours are from 2 to 4.
Well, I'm certainly in a lovely mess. Now I'll have to get a lawyer, and it'll probably cost me thousands of dollars.
Oh, not the lawyer I hired for you.
You hired a lawyer for me?
Yeah, and he's very cheap.
Well, how do you know he's cheap?
Well, I had lunch with him today, and I had to pay my own check.
Gracie, did anybody ever tell you that you were a little imbecilic?
Yes, at a picnic once.
I see.
But I guess he didn't mean it, because I never saw him again.
Everything happens to me. A lawsuit for $200,000.
Senor Burns?
What?
If you're looking for a good lawyer, get my uncle. He handled the Dreyfus case.
The Dreyfus case? You mean Alexander Dreyfus from Devil's Island?
No, the taxi Dreyfus from Coney Island.
$200,000. I wouldn't pay that Elsie Trallifass a nickel.
Good for you, George. That'll help me a whole lot.
How will it help you?
I'll be able to tell our listeners that both you and Spam are in the can.
Well, that hit the spot.
Thanks, George.
I thought so. And here I was saving my money for when I was old and decrepit.
Yeah, and just when you are, look what happened.
This whole thing is absurd.
Well, George is right. That Elsie is nothing but a gold digger. And I told her plenty, too. I told her that before she'd get a dime from you, George, you'd draw all your money out of the bank.
Oh, that wouldn't frighten a girl like Elsie.
Oh, it wouldn't, huh? It scared her so that she tied up your bank account.
Tied up my bank account?
Oh. Look, George passed out.
Well, I can't understand it, Bud. Wouldn't you think he'd be interested in what I'm telling him?
While the boss is out, the smoothies, Babs, Charlie, and Little will sing Cherry Berry Bean.
Oh, Cherry Bean. Oh, Cherry Bean. Cherry Bean, he waits for her each night beneath her balcony. Cherry Bean, he begs to hold her tight, but no, she won't agree. Cherry Bean, she throws a rose and blows a kiss from up above. Chirpy bees, chirpy bees, chirpy bees, they're so in love. When the moon ain't low in Napoli, there's a handsome Napoli. Every night he sings so happily, so his lady love can hear. In a manner so bravissimo, he repeats his serenade, and his heart beats so fortissimo when she raises her Venetian shade. Chibi-bean, 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 oh, chibi-bean. He waits for his night beneath the balcony, chibi-bean. He waits to hold her tight, but no, she won't agree. No, she won't agree. Chibi-bean, she throws rose up, kiss him up above. Chibi-bean, chibi-bean. He sings to her each night under the pale moonlight.
Chibi-bean, he waits for her each night beneath her balcony.
Chibi-bean, he begs to hold her tight, but no, she won't agree. Chibi-bean, she throws her rose and blows the kiss from up above. Chibi-bean, chibi-bean. Now they sing of love, they're both so much in love. Oh, chibi-bean, oh, chibi-bean.
Oh, George is still out. Artie, hold his head while I give him another spoonful of this medicine.
Gracie, that's extract of bitters. That's extract of bitters. That's terrible stuff.
I know. Hold his head while I give him another spoonful. Another spoonful.
Gracie, you're spilling half of that medicine on his chin. Wipe it off.
I can't. It burns my fingers.
Well, listen, George, I've got some bad news. Oh, gee, still out, huh?
Yeah, hold his head, Artie.
Well, listen, everybody. Listen. Elsie's sweetheart is outside, and he's a big bruiser, and I can't hold him, and he says he's going to come in here and mop up the floor with George. Shall I call for help?
Oh, no, no. He and George can mop up this floor without any help.
Look.
Gee, this is awful. What'll we do?
Well, how about you and me going to Ciro's tonight?
Oh.
Look, is George coming too?
No, just you and I.
Oh. Oh.
He's coming out of his faint. Shall I tell him about Elsie's sweetheart, that big bruiser who's coming here to beat him up?
No, no, not that. He'll fight again. He'll faint again.
That's all right. There's plenty of medicine left.
Oh, where am I? Oh, I know. Boy, this lawsuit has certainly left a bitter taste in my mouth.
Gracie, that's Elsie's sweetheart.
Hey, sound man, that's probably my lawyer. Let him in.
Mr. Burns, before I open the door, do your insurance policies carry double indemnity in case of death by accident?
Well, yes.
You are a very lucky man, weren't you?
Sound man, will you let my lawyer in?
Well, you asked for it.
Who's George Burns?
Uh-oh, here comes Malicious.
I'm George Burns.
Oh, so you're George Burns.
That's right.
So what about you and Elsie Trallopath?
Well, he doesn't know her. He's never heard of her, have you, George?
Certainly I know Elsie Trallopath. I know her very well. And, mister, if you're going to help me out of this legal jam, I might as well tell you the truth.
Good.
I'll give her to you straight from the shoulder.
Oh, vice versa.
Just how well did you know Elsie Trallopath?
Well, I'm not a man who likes to boast, but on the other hand, this is no time to hold anything back.
Calling Dr. Kildare. Calling Dr. Kildare.
One night about a week ago, I was taking her home in a taxi, and I put my arm around her.
Like this?
Yeah, but I held her a little tighter.
You mean like this?
Oh, wait a minute. Not that tight.
Quite a crush.
Yeah, couldn't have killed me. And after I took Elsie home, we were standing in the hallway.
Senor Burns?
Standing in the hallway with Elsie, you see.
Senor Burns?
And we were both in the hallway.
Hey, Pupsy!
What is it, Senor Lee?
Can I have your tooth powder after you get your teeth knocked out?
I'm not going to get my teeth knocked out.
I know something that you don't know.
Artie, will you keep that stale character quiet? So we were standing in the hallway, and I put my lips against Elsie's, and she...
George, shall I play my number now?
What number?
Get out of town before it's too late.
Artie, you're not playing that number.
No, this is the number you're playing, Artie. Let me get at the piano. When April showers will come your way, be careful, Pupsy, of what you say. We're trying to tell you, take it on the lamb. This fellow isn't what you think he is. If you want to continue for Sam, just keep your mouth shut.
Oh, quiet, quiet. Anyway, mister, I was standing in the hallway with Elsie, and she threw her arms around me. Stop, man. Stop slamming the door. You know I hate bangs.
You hate bangs? Then keep your mouth shut. You've said enough.
Oh, quiet.
Yeah, what's going on?
This guy behind you is pretty tough.
You'll be looking up at daisies that you won't be able to smell.
Wah, 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 wah. Whenever Elsie's boyfriend comes.
Good evening, Forest Lawn.
Now, look, what's going on here? Here I am worrying about $200,000 lawsuit and everybody singing.
Say, did Elsie ever happen to mention her boyfriend?
Yeah, I heard her say something. She's going around with some dope or something.
Dope?
Hold your hats, boys. Here it comes.
You did say dope, didn't you?
Yeah, some big dope or something. Sound man, why are you opening the door? There's nobody going out.
That's what you think.
Hey, Mr. Burns, I think we can talk this over better in the alley.
Yeah, it's too noisy in here. Come on, let's go.
George, don't tell what Irene Dunn done. He'll be done.
What Irene Dunn done? What's that?
Irene Dunn told me it's Elsie's boyfriend.
Who's afraid of Elsie's boyfriend? Why, with one hand, I can crumple him to pieces.
I'm Elsie's boyfriend.
And with the other hand, I could...
Oh.
What happened?
Oh, George has fainted. Artie, hold his head while I give him some more medicine.
Yeah, when he comes to. When he comes to, tell him that he's not only being sued for $200,000 for breach of contract, but I'm suing him for $300,000 for alienation of affection. Goodbye, everybody. And goodbye, Poopsie.
Well, what are we going to do with George? He fainted again.
Can't anybody do something?
I can do something.
We'll do it.
I'll be delightful. Yeah. Yo tengo buena suerte con todos los jueguitos, pero lo que es mi fuerte es el juego de amorcitos. Hay una muchachita quien yo quiero conquistar. Les apuesto lo que quieran que la voy a ganar. Se llama Nada. Ella es mi nada. Mi nada no hace nada más que amar. Yo quiero a Nada. No hago nada más que de mi nada soñar. Cuando beso a mi nada, nada beso al parecer. Pero Nada tiene todo para hacerme arder. Yo quiero a Nada. No hace nada, nada más que amar.
Oh, Artie, hold his head. I'll give him another spoonful.
Boop, boop. Gracie, is this medicine good for fainting?
Oh, it's marvelous for fainting.
How do you know?
Well, every time I give my daddy a spoonful, he faints.
Oh, what happened? Who am I?
George Burns.
Where am I?
George Burns. Oh, who types these things, anyway?
Where am I?
On the spam program.
What's spam?
What spam? Boy, you must be groggy if you don't remember what spam is. Why, George, spam is what you have fried with eggs for breakfast. Spam is what you have for lunch, sliced cold in spamwiches. Spam is what you have baked whole for dinner.
Oh, yes, but I remember now.
And you ask me what's spam. Why, George, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, I'm a bad boy, yes.
Why, everybody knows that spam is tender, delicious meat, all ready to eat as it comes from the can.
All right, but I'm sorry.
Easy to serve, economical to use. Spam is the reason housewives are spending less time in the kitchen and still giving their families good food on the dot.
I apologize, but spam is wonderful.
Well, thanks, George.
Yes, I didn't mean it, but I'm so sorry.
Okay, sit down. Now, ladies, here's a grand suggestion for dinner tomorrow night. Open a can of Spam, S-P-A-M. As I said before, it's all ready to eat, so just slice Spam and serve with tomatoes, corn on the cob, a simple dessert, and your favorite beverage. You'll have nothing but compliments from the whole gang, because the meaty flavor, the grand taste of Spam satisfies even the huskiest appetite. And when you try the other recipes on the label, you'll discover Spam has dozens of uses, cold or hot. So remember, you'll spend a lot of time out of the kitchen when you keep Spam on your pantry shelf. It needs no refrigeration. Get a supply when you shop tomorrow. Just say to your food dealer, I want Spam.
I want Spam.
Slice it, dice it, fry it, bake it, cold or hot. Spam hits the spot.
Oh, now I remember. Elsie Trallifast's boyfriend. What happened to him?
He's gone.
I wish that lawyer would come. Being sued for $200,000. Why, if I lose that case, it'll be like taking the shirt off my back.
Well, here comes Striptease Burns now.
Striptease Burns?
Yeah, because her boyfriend is suing you for $300,000.
$300,000? Oh.
Artie, hold his head.
Oh, boo.
Say, George looks flushed. Has anybody got a thermometer?
Here's one, Senor Bud. I got it off the wall.
That's a barometer, not a thermometer.
In his condition, he'll know the difference.
Oh, give it to me, Bud. Open his mouth, Artie. Oh, my, this is awful.
Well, what's wrong with George? What does it say?
He's partly cloudy in the southern region. hold his head?
Oh, oh. Bud, take the barometer out of George's mouth.
Oh, here it is.
And now put his teeth back in.
Now give him another spoonful.
Boop, boop.
Gracie, that's the 30th spoonful you've given him, and it hasn't done him any good.
I know.
Well, then why are you making him finish all that terrible medicine?
I want to get my nickel back in the bottle.
Oh. Oh. Where is he?
Who?
The lawyer. He's supposed to be here. Oh, my head.
Oh, what's the matter, George?
I don't feel well. I've got spots in front of my eyes.
Oh, then that stuff I gave you is a fake.
A fake?
Yeah, look what it says here in the bottle. Good for removing spots.
Gracie, that's Carbona.
Senor Burns?
Yes, what is it, Senor Lee?
Once I had a date with Brenda and Carbona.
Brenda and Carbona?
Si.
Carbona makes you sick.
Brenda is a doll?
Howdy, will you send that broken-down guitar player back to local 802?
Oh, this must be him. Come in.
Mr. Burns?
Yes?
My name is Jules Covey, attorney at law. I'm calling with reference to the Elsie Tullifas case.
Well, I'm glad you're here, Mr. Covey, as I'd like to explain the whole thing to you.
Well, that's what attorneys are for, Mr. Burns.
Well, now, to begin with, I did take Elsie Tullifas out a few times. She was young and pretty, and after all, I'm only human.
George, don't say anything you can't prove.
I've got that down, Mr. Burns.
Well, anyway, the first night I met her, we drove out to the beach, and the radio was playing, and I had the Pot of Gold on.
Is that prettier than a derby?
Will you be quiet?
Go ahead, Mr. Burns. I'm writing it down.
So we were driving along, and I kept telling her how pretty she was and how smart she was, and pretty soon we came to a lonely spot, and I ran out of compliments.
Well, that's a new one. Most fellows run out of gas.
Gracie, for your information, there are lots of couples who don't neck in parked cars.
Yeah, the woods are full of them.
All right, so maybe I kissed her a few times. But please, Gracie, it's very important that the lawyer hears my story.
I've got that down, Mr. Burns.
Of course, that wouldn't look very good to a jury, so when we get to court, Mr. Covey, let's cut out the kissing.
You mean you and he'll just hold hands?
Gracie, will you keep still?
Go ahead, Mr. Burns. I've got that down.
Well, you can tell the jury that I'm a man of very fine character.
George, Mr. Covey just met you. He doesn't even know you.
Well, if he doesn't know George, then he can say it.
Ah, well, this cast is always kidding me like this, Mr. Covey. But they'll be glad to be character witnesses for me, won't you, boys?
Oh, you bet your life we will, George. I'll be glad to stand up in court and tell them what a wonderful guy you are.
Oh, thanks, but...
How much does it pay?
You know, now you've got me so confused, I don't know which way to turn.
Oh, a Los Angeles driver, huh?
A lot of fine friends.
Senor Burns?
What is it, Senor Lee?
For 50 cents, I will tell the jury that you are a perfect gentleman.
50 cents, huh?
Hey.
I won't pay it.
All right, so I'll say you're good for nothing.
You got that down, Mr. Colby?
Poor George, he started out looking for a character witness, and look what happened.
No witness?
No character.
Oh, keep still. Anyway, Mr. Colby, I met this Elsie Tullifas in a restaurant, and you never saw anybody eat so much in your life. She ordered a double porterhouse steak, and in 2 seconds, she looked up at me, and what do you think she said?
I've got that down, Mr. Burns.
That was exactly what she said. You see, it really was a lot of innocent fun.
Oh, so that's what happened.
Well, not exactly. That's what I want you to tell the jury. If the opposing side knew the real facts, I wouldn't have a leg to stand on. You see, between you and me, I did promise to put Elsie Tullifas on the radio.
I see what you mean, Mr. Burns. And believe me, I can't possibly lose this case. Good day.
Good day. Now, there's a great lawyer. See, Gracie? He says he can't lose.
Oh, that's what he says. I'll bet your lawyer will beat him.
My lawyer? My lawyer?
Yes?
Who was that?
Elsie Tullifas' lawyer.
Elsie Tullifas! Oh!
Artie, hold his head.
Before George and Gracie return to say goodnight, they want me to tell you that Spam is a mighty good mealtime hint for your household tomorrow and every day. Ask for Spam, S-P-A-M, when you shop tomorrow and try the easy recipes on the label.
Well, thanks, Bud. Well, Gracie, say goodnight.
Oh, good night. And by the way, George, here's some good news. You know, it didn't do Elsie Trowelfast any good to tie up your money.
Swell, Gracie, why?
Well, I found out that your bank just failed.
Oh.
Artie, hold his head.
Well, will George come to by next week? Will he win the case? Will he have to pay $100,000? What will happen? Who cares? Good night.
Listen again next Monday night, same time, same station, for George Burns and Gracie Allen, with Artie Shaw and his orchestra and the Smoothies, brought to you by Hormel and Spam. Until then, this is Bud Heaston reminding you to remember that cold or hot, Spam hits the spot. Have you tried Hormel Chili Con Carne? You may think you don't like chili, but Chili Con Carne, the way Hormel makes it, is different, and everybody likes it. Double your money back if you don't like it. Try Hormel Chili Con Carne tomorrow. This is the National Broadcasting Company.